Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
I'm John Dotson with Judy Dempsey, my colleague and friend. She is in Berlin. She is the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. I recommend you sign for it and understand how the Europeans see their role in the Ukraine crisis, in the Gaza crisis, certainly in the days and years ahead in the 21st century dealing with the Russian Federation and its abundance of energy and its poor governance or troubled governance or non-governance in the Kremlin. But now we turn to the immediate question that Judy has in her essay, the two issues that European Union must consider. One is sovereignty. The other is Ukraine, security. I read from the Reuters report from Berlin in these last hours. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz said on Monday, within hours, the majority of countries in the European Union were not delivering sufficient weapons to Ukraine to help it battle a Russian invasion, calling upon his allies to increase their efforts. With American military assistance to Ukraine stalled, Scholz insisted on the need for Europe to step up. Judy, Olaf Scholz is saying the right thing. Is he being minded in Germany, or is this an outsider's opinion?
If Scholz certainly said these things, but if he wants to believe in them, then the Germans should step up in delivering the Taurus defense system, which Ukraine is desperately need for air support. This is the first thing. Secondly, to Germany's credit, after the United States, is the second biggest financial and probably military support of Ukraine. But Scholz's comments are very interesting. And maybe he's a different set of advisors now, but maybe there's a realization that this war has to end with more support for Ukraine to win it. But the fact that Scholz now is criticizing his allies it's a little bit hard to digest, but I think he wants to really energize the momentum because this is deep in winter and this war is costing the European taxpayer quite a lot of money in terms of migration, in terms of financial assistance, in terms of all sorts of other issues. And maybe there's a sense inside Germany, finally, that this war has to end with the Ukrainian victory. Not that he says this.
The Ukrainian victory, that's a question that is now doubted here in the U.S. The voices are very loud in Congress that the reason the money is not flowing is because there's no assumption that this will be a victory. And the politics of this year insist upon that for some reason that I can't especially name. Resisting the Russian invasion was a triumph, was a victory in itself, but it's not adequate here. And what I read from Olaf Scholz is, at least Berlin believes it's not adequate in Europe. Are we shifting into a let's do the best we can and get out mode? Is that what's happening, Judy? They're willing to accept a partitioned Ukraine and a weakened Kyiv and a triumphant Russia, and that's acceptable?
No, it's not out there. Putin is standing for so-called re-election. I mean, he's already going to be elected in any case. Right. The repression continues in Russia. The call-up of the ethnic communities outside Moscow, particularly, and Petersburg, it continues. So many people, at least 5,000 Russians are nearly killed every week. But to get to your question, I think there's a sense of, I think there's a sense that no matter what happens in the United States, and despite a certain fatigue, but this can be kind of propaganda or just manipulation, but I think there's a sense that Europeans have to take responsibility for their backyard. Their backyard is Ukraine. Their backyard is Moldova. Their backyard is Georgia. Their backyard is Belarus and the Western Balkans. This is Europe's responsibility. And no matter what happens in the United States, it's time the Europeans got the foreign policy in focus and stop having global ambitions which cannot be realized, and instead focus on the regional ambitions which actually could have traction.
A voice in Europe that I featured last week in conversations with my colleagues was the foreign minister of Latvia. His name is Karins. I hope I pronounce it correctly. He was the previously was the prime minister, and he was very blunt. He said, when Putin's finished with Ukraine, he's coming for us. Is that believed by other states outside of the Baltic states? I understand Baltic states would be sympathetic to that voice, and maybe Poland. But does France believe it? Does Spain believe it?
No. On the one hand, of course, they're totally committed NATO allies. And so if any one NATO country was attacked, the NATO alliance would invoke Article 5, which means it would defend that country that was attacked. You're getting onto something terribly fundamental here. Is there a common threat perception about Russia and about what Russia is doing to Ukraine? And yes, the sanctions have been rolled over by all the 27 member states, but is there a really common threat perception? I don't think so. The Baltic states understand this common threat perception. So do the Poles, so do the Czechs, so do the Slovaks, despite their government, and the Romanians too, and the Bulgarians actually. But we are getting into a situation here that there has to be consensus about what a Russian victory would entail or what a Russian defeat would entail. In both cases, they will have profound implications for the future security architecture of the European Union and its neighbors, including Ukraine.
One way to listen to this is to say it's not about money. It's about belief. And what you're suggesting, no, more than suggesting, what you're pointing to, and it's something I read, but I'm very far away and I don't have the languages, so I read it in English, is that there is doubt that Ukraine needs to be saved. And the doubt is commonplace. That Ukraine was Russia, will be Russia again. It speaks Russian. Why are we spending our money and our time and worrying about our futures on the basis of something that is a civil war? Is that a voice that you hear in Berlin?
No, it's not a civil war. And this is a Russian war against Ukrainian sovereignty and independence. And what the language you use is very interesting on how you refer to some US voices. The point is there are those that want to legitimate the fact that Ukraine is losing, despite the fact that from early on, yes, we will support Ukraine for as long as it takes. And so they're trying to use this element that, oh, Ukraine couldn't do the counteroffensive, so they failed. Well, naturally, they couldn't win in the counteroffensive because they didn't get the necessary weapons.
Right.
But you can always manipulate the facts to suit your own ideological outlook. And this is dishonest and it's rhetorical and it's disingenuous. And frankly, it's not fair, and it's unethical when it comes to all the efforts that Ukraine is trying to do to protect its independence and sovereignty.
Judy Dempsey, Carnegie, I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.